70 degrees, actually 71 degrees in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO. It is 4:08 in time for hour number two of the Jeremy Lawrence Show here on WKZO. Glad you're along for it. I really wish I would have had the opportunity to address a lot of the things. We had a caller at the end of the hour, and he brought up an awful lot of things, most of which we weren't actually talking about. But he brought up the Great Depression and how that it was ended by FDR. In all truth, if you look up in history, one of the things that there are people that will argue the Great Depression was ended not by FDR's programs, but by World War II.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And there are some people that would even argue that FDR's programs lengthened the Great Depression longer than probably what it would have been. Now, that's an argument for later. It's not one that I've done a lot of reading on or anything like that, but it's one that I have seen from time to time talked about in those particular cases. Now, one thing he was talking about is the whole idea of when Obama had his stimulus package and when that was passed and funding came for roads here and roads there and people were putting in requests for this and requests for that. And you know what? That's nice. That was really nice that we were able to spend money we don't have on things we don't need. Now, there would be people who would say, well, you know what, Niles, we needed that road. Maybe you did. But did we need a lonely interstate highway in the middle of Mississippi that no one uses? And think about the different things that were done with the stimulus dollars. For instance, they funded, and I remember seeing this report at one point, a bridge, a pedestrian bridge over a river where there were no sidewalks leading to it either way. And there was not a whole lot of foot traffic headed that way. Let's build a bridge here. So, in other words, let's spend money we don't have on something we don't need so that we can spend more money we don't have on a sidewalk we don't need to lead to the thing that we bought that we don't need. You know, that was a lot of the stimulus. Michael's already gone, what? Huh? I lost you.
A little confusing.
And it is confusing when you think about the way that all of that was put together. And the whole point was, you know, that particularly with the stimulus plan, it was a lot of federal dollars of, well, we'll spend it here and we'll do this. I'd heard it in some circles called porculous, meaning it was a lot of pork barrel spending. And it was a whole lot of, hey, let's spend money on this. Why? Because it might get me reelected. You know, that was a lot of what it was. Now, you know, were there some legitimate things done? Sure. Absolutely. But by and large, it was an awful lot of money we don't have for things we don't need. And I'll stand by that, too. But I think the thing that we were, and getting back to what we were talking about originally, because Terry Lynn Land, she's running for Senate. You know that. Gary Peters, Terry Lynn Land, they're going after each other. And yesterday, we talked a little bit about how they're spending time going after one another. And even in the rollout of this roads plan, she couldn't help but poke a little bit at Gary Peters. See, well, you know, while he was doing this, he was sending off these dollars to the federal government, continuing to vote for that instead of money coming here. Okay, there was the poke. Okay, you need that sometimes. I get that. It's an election year. Don't necessarily appreciate it, but you need it. But one thing she did do here, and I thought this was interesting, she laid out a plan, and the simplicity of it is just amazing. Here's her plan, and if you're just joining us, this is we've been talking about this for a little bit. Terry Lynn Land says, you know what, over several years, what her plan would do would be to reduce the federal gas tax from 18.4 cents per gallon to around 4 cents. Per gallon. And then what she does there, she also says, you know what, that would eliminate an awful lot of the red tape and strings attached and all that stuff that come with federal highway dollars. Well, you have to spend it over here, you have to spend it over there. She says, you know what, what about that money getting in the hands of the state? What about the state deciding, all right, you know what, That would be about 14.4 cents. We could take all of that and put it towards roads. And in Michigan, yeah, we probably ought to. But what if you get to a point where you realize, all right, well, we're spending all this money and we're getting a better deal here because we don't have all these federal this and federal that. You know what? You have to use the 7/8 inch steel to go into the guardrails, and it has to be built by blah, 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 and this and that and the other. You know all the federal requirements on things. Things that, according to Ms. Land, up to 20% of gas tax dollars are spent complying with rules and regs. What if we instead had that 20% and we used it on, well, I don't know, roads? What would that be like?
I don't know. It'd be nice roads, though.
And she's mentioning this, and I think, this is interesting. I'm intrigued by this. It's the idea of letting the state figure out. Now, yeah, would the state have to take care of interstates and that kind of thing? Yeah, sure it would. But why not? Why not? States definitely have an interest that interstates do pretty well. You want the interstate that goes between Detroit and Chicago to be a good one. You want it to be something that, because you know it's well-traveled, mm-hmm. You want it to be an interstate that is worth traveling on. You want the interstate that, and for instance, you've got over on the east side of the state, US 23. It's another one of those roads that, you know what, that one might be sort of useful for some of those trucks that go up the highway, but they're trying to skip Detroit because they want to get up a little bit further north and do it faster. Guess what? That one kind of needs to be good as well. I-75, by all means, that needs to be good. But what about some of these state highways? Couldn't we spend some of that money there? Couldn't we spend some of that money in places where, and I'm not going to rattle them all because you know better than I do where in your area it needs help. You could sit there and go, yep, I drive that highway all the time and there's a pothole long about here. And if we could just get that fixed, or you know what, the pavement really needed to be redone 2 years ago. And wouldn't it be great if we had that money so we could do it instead of paving somebody's highway in Georgia? Or better yet, stimulus highways in Mississippi where people don't travel. Now, admittedly, there are people on that highway, but not very many. It didn't connect much of it. It was the way to get from Memphis south. That's that particular highway. But it's an interesting idea. And I put out the invitation to Terry Lynn Land to come on and talk about this because I'm intrigued enough. I want to hear what this plan entails. So I'm thinking, you know what? This is way too simple. Way too simple. But I find it intriguing. And how do you get this done? And I think that's the other question that I would ask her, too, is how do you get this done in a bipartisan way? Because there's going to be some opposition. There's going to be, and it's not just, all right, Republicans will be in charge. Because if Republicans take the Senate, and the projections I've seen indicate that they will, but if Republicans take the Senate, they're not going to have that filibuster-proof majority. So there's going to be some across the aisle working there. How do you get a plan like that through the Senate? How do you get the House to sign on with that? How do you get it so that legislators will go, you know what, it makes more sense to not have that money heading through the federal government? How do you get that? How do you get people convinced of that? So I've sent out the invitation. We'll see if we get the acceptance of the invitation for her to come on here and talk about this plan. Because I think this, while it certainly wouldn't totally solve road problems in Michigan, I got to think if we got this money instead coming to the state, wouldn't that help a little bit?
It would be a start, most definitely.
And if we got that extra 20% because we're not having to do things the federal government thinks we ought to do, and instead we're doing things that we know we ought to do, wouldn't that be good to say, I don't know, have maybe 20% more of the roads taken care of?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. If we had 20% more of the roads that we need to take care of taken care of, would we have as much of a problem? We probably wouldn't be talking about it quite as much right now. So it seems like that might be part of a solution there. And I think it intrigues me that she offered this. Now, maybe there's a different way of doing it. Maybe they're saying, well, we'll turn the whole thing over to the federal government. Yeah, I personally, I think that's sending money to the federal government usually doesn't work all that well. Sometimes it does, but I'd say oftentimes it doesn't. And to make the argument, well, the state wouldn't have got around to that. What if the state had that money instead of the federal government? What if the state was in charge of that money instead of the federal government? What if the state could be able to decide, all right, that's needed right there?
The state knows better what roads need to be taken care of than what the federal government does. They'd have to look at all the roads. The state just has to look at the roads that are in the state. That's it.
Yeah. And you take care of the major ones, certainly, but you take care of some of those other ones, those different highways that go here and there, and you know, some of those different ones around the state, and you know the ones I'm talking about. I mean, yeah, there's some that a lot of people take. 23, 127, 131, I-94, I-75. Yeah, we know about those highways, but what about some of the other ones? Yeah, your M-43s and your things like that. What, you know, if we had that money here, could we take care of stuff there a lot faster? Would we have roads that people actually talk about in a good way instead of Michigan? Oh, have fun. You know, that's what you get sometimes. But yeah, I mean, imagine what that would be like. So what do you think about this plan? Love to hear from you. Of course, if you want to be a part of the program at any time, feel free to do so. 877-382-4280. If you're in the local area, 382-4280. Also, 80373 is the way that you text us and get with us that way. We can share some of those texts as they come in as well. One other thing. Now, somebody is suggesting to save on the guardrails by making them out of plastic or styrofoam. No.
No, we would go right through them.
No, that wouldn't be good. Yeah, styrofoam. Imagine that. Pew!
Let's make it out of Nerf, then.
You know, but you know some of those things. When I talk about that, Nerf, that would be interesting, actually. But, you know, I talk about that. I'm not talking about necessarily, oh, well, let's not make them out of metal. I mean, come on. But what I'm talking about is when the federal government tells you, all right, you need to make guardrails. They need to be this thick. They need to be made of steel that are made at this particular shop by this particular company in this particular way. And they need to be made to these specifications, and they lay it out for you. And all these extra things cost extra money. Because sometimes maybe you want to deal with a regional supplier or a local supplier that can do the same job and do it cheaper. Instead of the federal government telling you, well, you know what? Our contract is with them. Go deal with them. How about shopping some of that stuff around? That's what we're talking about right there. So, you know, and that's something that I think is worthwhile to talk about in the discussion. So I'd love to get your thoughts on it. And you can, giant rubber bands. That's great. That one just came up. Thanks for that. Giant rubber bands.
It'll be like pinball on the highway.
I don't know. Some of those highways, it's sort of like pinball anyway. giant rubber bands. Wouldn't that be fun? But, you know, I think that's the whole key to it, is saying, you know what? We know better than the feds do what we need in the state of Michigan. So spend it here. Spend it here. And, all right, if you need guardrails, get them from somebody in the area that might know what they're doing with them, that could do it for a little bit less than this little supplier over here that just happens to be government approved. You know, instead, we can go with somebody here in the state that can do, all right, you know what, here, yeah, it'll be strong, it'll be tough, we can build it for you, and we can do it for 20% less. We could do it for 30% less. Wouldn't that be helpful? I think it'd be great. Absolutely think it would be great. Love to hear from you on this one. 877-382-4280. That's toll free. Locally, it's 382-4280. 80373. You can text just as some people have done. And we'll continue talking with you right here. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. 71 degrees. 590 WKZO and the Jeremy Lawrence Show as we continue on. One of the things that I wanted to get to at some point during the program here, Paul Ryan, former vice presidential running mate for Mitt Romney a couple of years ago, he's written his book, and we talked a little bit about it, but I find this interesting that he talks about, in his book, he talks about Detroit. And he does so in a rather interesting and almost unflattering way. Now, if you're familiar with, I don't know if you've seen a show on NBC, they've canceled it now, called Revolution.
Yes.
I know, Michael, you were pretty upset when that happened.
I was very upset.
But I'm assuming Netflix will have the second and final season at some point. In fact, I'm waiting on that because I've seen a season of the thing. But, familiar with it. The whole idea of, basically some big apocalyptic event has happened and now all these people are running around without power and without much authority and all of that stuff. Well, one of the things that Paul Ryan talks about is the policies that took place to get Detroit to where it is and the whole idea of bankruptcy. And he says, and this is a quote, says, instead of living with good city services, since Detroit has the highest tax rates in Michigan, many citizens are living in a scene reminiscent of NBC's post-apocalyptic drama Revolution. Oh, boy. That's going to get some people stirred up. There are going to be people in Detroit upset about this. But is that a fair assessment? Because part of what he's talking about is talking about, you know what, in America, we're pursuing a lot of the same policies that got Detroit where it is. The whole idea of borrowing money so that we can live off of it now, growing government at an unsustainable rate, he says, often at the expense of civil society and individual freedom. He talks about that. His book is called The Way Forward, Renewing the American Idea. And this was a piece that appeared in the Detroit News where they're talking about this. I can only imagine the blowback that he's getting there. What, you hate Detroit? Come on. But is there a kernel of truth in it? Well, maybe. Maybe. And, you know, I know a lot of us are not going to necessarily debate that, all right, Detroit did what it did. Yeah, Detroit got itself into trouble. But what about the point he's making here? Could we end up in a situation where we've got all these high taxes and no jobs and none of this? Because if you go to raise taxes, sometimes that brings in less revenue. And people are saying, well, how in the world does that work? Well, let me explain it. If you raise taxes, that's supposed to bring in more revenue. And sometimes it does. But sometimes what that also does is people go, you know what? Where's the encouragement to make as much money? I'll make just as much money by making a little less than what I would making that much, because now I have to give more of it to the government. So if they start making a little less money, they're paying a little less to the government. Guess what? Eventually, if enough people do that, less revenue. Now, what Paul Ryan is talking about is, you know what? What we need to do is make some tax cuts. And, you know, you need to be able to make tax cuts. Maybe free up things a little bit more individual freedom and that kind of thing. And his idea is, well, maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's the way forward. And I think that's kind of the thing that he's looking at, the idea that, you know what, and I tend to look at it as, you know, I think that particular idea in and of itself is conservatism at its finest. The idea of, you know what, if you decide to cut taxes, there'll be people that'll have a little bit more money. And what do you do when you have a little bit more money?
Spend it.
Yeah, most people do. They spend it. And if you spend more money, that means more products and services are needed, which means more jobs are created, which means more people have more money, which means that they're spending more money. And if more people have more money and there's more jobs and more people making money, guess what? Government revenues actually go up. It works. It absolutely works. Worked in the 80s, worked for the Bush tax cuts. An awful lot of people blame those for our problems. Our problems came from something totally different. And, you know, we could dig into that at some point. But if you look at it how it simply works. If you cut taxes, the government ends up with more revenue. It works every time. The only difference is the government needs to be reined in so they're not spending so much. We could do that and spend less, can you imagine? We might actually be able to, pay off the debt or something.
That would be nice.
What would that be like? Instead of passing on a bill to our children and grandchildren, we pass along to them the country and in good shape. Hmm. 71 degrees in Kalamazoo. Like I'm pulling up in my DeLorean here or something. It's Back to the Future flashbacks here.
I'm getting them too. I've always wanted a DeLorean.
It's funny because I can remember several years ago, and I lived in Michigan at this time, and saw a DeLorean on the side of the road for sale. And it was kind of interesting. I was looking over this like, interesting. At the time, I was not in a position to buy, but it would have been fun.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just from the standpoint of, basically driving up somewhere, pulling up really fast, getting out, being dressed like Doc Brown and going, Marty! How fun would that be, pulling into a Target?
That'd be awesome. I remember there was one that was being driven around Richland for a long time, and then I saw it for sale, and someone bought it, and now I don't see it, so it must be they don't live in Richland.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No, those are fun, And as I understand, I think I've read somewhere, I don't know for certain, but I think somewhere somebody is actually building those things again. Now, it's on demand.
Yeah, I think I read that, too. I think in Texas it said they were being built, and they were, with electric batteries.
Mm-hmm.
They were being driven by with electric batteries, yeah.
But, yeah, if you want one, you have to order it, and then they'll make it for you. It's not one of those, we're going to put them off the assembly line here, and, all right, here's 20,000 of them. Go ahead, buy them. It's not like that anymore, which... For those, that might be something that's not quite in demand, particularly those gullwing doors, which are cool as could be, but you need a little room there.
Yeah, you can't park next to anybody.
It's some of these places where you go, you go try and park some of these places where they've got the, 10 parking spots where there should be 6. Yeah, You're not getting out of your DeLorean there.
No.
You're just not going to do it. Not next to that big old SUV next to you. It isn't going to happen.
Yeah, if you take it to someplace like a Cedar Point, you're like, no, hold on, don't pull in the spot yet. I got to get out first.
Well, you know what? It's a good idea. Maybe we should get a station DeLorean. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
right there.
I'd love that.
So if somebody has one for sale, we'll buy it for about, $2. I think that's what Michael and I could put together. Together on that one, So that's the budget we got. So, if you got one, and no, not a Hot Wheels car. We're not buying that. Oh, we might for $1.
Maybe, We can't drive it, unfortunately.
No, but it would be kind of cool to have that sitting there on the deck. Look at this. Yeah. Marty gave it to me, So I wanted to get to talking about this. There was an editorial piece that was put forward Detroit News. State Senator Rebecca Warren... And she's a Democrat from the Ann Arbor area, put forth a piece talking about getting women a seat at the political table. Mentioned that it's Women's Equality Day to commemorate the passage of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. And that's certainly something that is worth marking. And she talks about ways to be able to get women to the table to talk about various things. Well, and she mentioned some of the breastfeeding things that went through earlier this year, which, kudos, is a good thing to put through. And I think, one thing that she brings up, and I think this is true. She says, women are not adequately represented at the state, federal, or international levels. Now, while she mentions she's one of just 4 females serving in the Michigan Senate, I think the one thing that can be brought up here is this, is that, yes, I believe women should be elected because they are, you know, basically 50% of the population. So, yeah, there's some women out there that should be elected. There are women out there that should be running that are not. There are women out there that are running that will end up losing their position for various reasons. And I guess, you know, the other thing that she brings up in here, she talks about something that was introduced before the U.S. House of Representatives, the Women, Peace, and Security Act, which I looked into this a little bit. It's all about encouraging and doing reports on making sure that women are included in peace and security and different negotiations with foreign powers and things like that. Okay, well, all right, I'm with you a little bit. But then you look into it a little bit further, and co-sponsors of the bill are all Democratic. There's a Democrat that issued it. There's a boatload of Democrats that co-sponsored this thing. And I think, all right, you know what? To me, it ought to be bipartisan if you're going to be talking about that. Now, she does in her piece, in her opinion piece that she put together, she does say this, and I think this is kind of interesting. Urge a female friend to run for office. And she says, volunteer to campaign for any of the talented, passionate women currently running. Which, I don't know if she means this for both parties, because I think there are women running for positions from both parties that are worthy of a look in terms of, you know, do they stand for what you stand for? Do they believe in what you believe in? So I think, you know, women can represent a district just as well as any man. Absolutely. But the bottom line is not are they female, it's do they stand for what I stand for? Do they believe in what I believe in? And here's the other part of it, and I think this is the other part to say, is this whole idea of standing up for women, is this just a, well, okay, stand up for women, but only over here? No, I think it should be for all women, both parties, both ways of thinking of things, because there are women that are running in both parties that stand for different things. You know what? That's one thing that is brought up. And I think, you know, particularly if you talk about, you know, the pro-life, pro-choice positions, when the abortion movement brings this up, they always talk about it from the standpoint of women's health. And, well, you know, women are on the side of this. Well, I've got women in my life that will absolutely tell you, no, I'm pro-life. So that's not necessarily the position that some people take. So I think, yeah, encouraging women to be a part of the process, absolutely. And I think that part of the encouragement is getting women that should run for office to run for office. That said, I think there are other situations where, yeah, maybe not. But it should be bottom line based on, you know what, my belief system is this. Here's what I believe. Here are the things I stand for. And you know, if you think about it, I mean, the question of when is a woman going to be elected this or that or the other? When one runs that people want to vote for. And it may seem simple, but you know what? Stand up for different ideas that people have. See if you can convince a majority of people to stand with you and vote with you. And guess what? You could end up winning. And that may seem simple. Now, yeah, do we have some issues? One of the things that she brings up in her piece talks about equal pay for, and that she's saying women are still paid less than men for the same work. I'd like to know where she gets her figure. She says 28 fewer cents per dollar in Michigan. But a lot of the studies that have been done on this don't necessarily compare this job for job. They compare it on the whole. And if women hold a certain kind of job and men hold a different kind of job and the one pays more than the other, well, then that skews the numbers a little bit. And if you start looking at the numbers in a different way, you might see something a little different. So, you know what? I will say this, and I encourage you, go to the Detroit News and read this piece that State Senator Warren put together. I think there are some interesting points in there. And I think there's definitely some things that we can learn from and say, you know what? Yeah, we need some women to run for office. But let's not forget, it's all about the ideas you have. It's all about the things you stand for. And some women believe different things than other women, and that's okay too. That is absolutely fine. So I encourage you, check it out, DetroitNews.com. They got this. It's called Getting Women a Seat at the Political Table. You need to check that out for yourself. You agree with me, disagree with me, I'd love to hear from you on it. 877-382-4280, 382-4280, 80373. If you would like to be a part of it, via text, as we will continue ahead here on the program. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. -71 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. 10 minutes until the hour. Of course, Kalamazoo's afternoon news coming up at 5 o'clock. And be sure to be with us. Not only will we be bringing you a rundown of what's going on in today's events, various things like that, there's going to be some different commentary pieces. Dave Ross, Todd Starnes, Kim Commando will bring some computer wisdom to you. It is a jam-packed hour, and we want you to be a part of it, so check it out for yourself. Kalamazoo's Afternoon News, it's just a part of what we do around here. Just so you are a bit more informed. Now, I think one of the things, you know, you talk about this whole idea of equality and things like that, and there are an awful lot of people that would say, well, women are not equal. I would say, you know, particularly for any married guy, you know that, and at our house we definitely live, but we want to make sure that that what she wants happens. Not because you know, she is in charge or anything like that. I mean, at our house it's an equal partnership, just as the way it should be in government. I don't have a problem with any woman that runs for office, but my bottom line is not, is it a woman? It's where does she stand on the issues? Where does she stand on various things that that I think are important? I mean, I think, you know, one of the things to talk about is roads in the state of Michigan, because guess what? That affects men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly if women are driving around trying to get to work just like men do, you're going to be impacted by the roads. So you're going to want to know what a politician stands for on that. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but I am saying this. I have no problem with it. Let's get women to run for various offices. But let's let it be this. Look at them, decide for yourself based on your beliefs and your principles. All right, where do I stand? Where does she stand? Could I vote for her? And if the answer is yes, do so. If the answer is no, don't feel any guilt about voting for someone else. That's the bottom line. I think really that's the ultimate goal there. Now, we've got a bit of a traffic tip to bring to you, so we are going to take a timeout for traffic, and for that, we go to Michael.
Got a tip in from a texter. Columbia Avenue in Battle Creek is blocked at Lakeview Middle School due to a multi-car accident. Once again, Columbia Avenue is blocked in Battle Creek at Lakeview Middle School due to a multi-car accident, so avoid that area if you can, because otherwise you're going to be probably sitting there quite a while waiting to get around.
Okay. Now, interestingly enough, as you look at some of the things that are happening in this country, and one of the things, I don't know how much traveling you've done. Talk about this to close out the show here, because you know what, we've all dealt with it, particularly if you fly, extra fees. You know, okay, well, all right, that's another $25 if you want to have that bag. And you know what? Your bag, yeah, it'll go down below. It's like basically an airline ticket for your bag. When before, you could get it for free. Now, yeah, if you've got excess baggage, they always charge it at that point. But there were added fees. Like, there are some of them that will charge you for carry-on bags. Yeah, there will be a carry-on bag charge for that. I'm assuming eventually at some point flying is going to get to the point of where, okay, basically you get to go sit naked in that cage over there. And if you want to wear clothes, it's an excess fee. It's going to cost us extra fuel money to, you know, carry those clothes over from Chicago to L.A. So I'm sorry. It's just an extra fee. Now, I make that, and you laugh, and you say, all right, well, that's kind of funny and probably not going to happen. But think about this. Not only the airlines have done this sort of thing, but hotels are starting to do this. This is interesting. I read about this. There are some hotels, you know how you've got that that bar in there with all the extra stuff that mm-hmm. if you take out, you take the chips out and you eat the chips, well, then that's going to be an extra $2 on your room. And, oh, by the way, yeah, that drink that you just took out of the fridge there, okay, that they're going to charge you for that. Okay, of course, we've seen that sort of thing. Now, some hotels are actually charging people if they remove something and then put it back.
Oh, my God.
There's a fee on that. There are fees now for, you know what, instead of one of those double beds, I'd like a queen-size bed. Now, not king-size, mind you, but a queen-size bed. Excess fee. And I don't know. I mean, I don't stay in real expensive places, but I don't stay at the cheap little places either. Sometimes you get that queen-size bed, and it wasn't any better than one of those doubles. You know, sometimes, and there are actually hotels that do this sort of thing that will charge you for using their refrigerator space. They'll put the fridge in your room, but then if you use it to put, like, bottles of water or whatever, oh, okay, there's a fee for that. Okay, we all remember those hotel rooms, and I know you've stayed in some that have a safe. You know, they have the in-room safe, so you can put your valuables in there. And of course, you lock it, and nobody knows how to open the thing, so your stuff stays in there. But, you might end up paying a fee for that, too. This is the kind of thing that's happening in the hotel industry, certainly in the travel industry. And it's depressing if you think about it, because you're thinking, all right, I want to stay someplace relatively nice. You know, I mean, you don't want to go overboard, but you don't want to go underboard either. You don't want to stay in a place where you're worried for your life,
No.
And if you stay in some of those places, well, I'm sorry, but you picked up the phone to call the front desk for a wake-up call. So we're going to have to charge you the picked up the phone for a wake-up call fee. And by the way, there is a charge for the wake-up call now. And, you could picture that in some of these hotels.
Oh, man, just nickel and dime you any way they can.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Nobody wants to say, all right, prices are going up on the hotel rooms. Because who wants to do that? Who wants to say, you know what, our hotel rooms are only $149.95. But think about that.
No one's going to go say it if it's that much.
And here's the thing. I mean, go and stay in some place like Chicago, for instance. All right, you got the room. But then you got to pay for a little space for your car to sit in while you're there. And, people say, well, that's just what you do when you go to a city. Why? When you go to a smaller town and you stay, you get to park your car for free there. They don't care.
No, not at all.
But wait, there could be more. It's like a Ginsu commercial. Because think about this. Now some of these chains are going to go, wait a minute. Cost us money to pave this parking lot. Cost us money for upkeep on the parking lot. Maybe we can do a parking fee. Yeah. If you park in our parking lot, which you know you're going to have to, because you can't park on the street. I mean, come on,
No.
But if you park in our parking lot, $3 fee.
And if you want to be under the light, $5.
They're nickel and diming us to death, and there's got to be some entrepreneur out there that could come up with a thing of like, you know what, we'll check people out in other cities where you want to stay, and if they've got an extra room, they'll let you stay there, and they won't hit you with all these fees. I mean, maybe that's just free idea there if you want to run with that and be an entrepreneur with that. So, you know what, I'll give you one for free there. But, these fees for airlines, they're doing it, and, for me, I don't fly that much. Partially because after you get in the air, it's like, oh, basically, it's like a bus with wings. Lovely. So, for me, now going to a hotel, you really got to watch this stuff. And they're saying, you know what? They tell you about it when you you book the room. Not all of them do. But some of them are doing that more and more. And they're saying, no, you're going to have to pay the fee. Sad but true. But what we're dealing with. You know what? Tomorrow we're going to get together, do it all over again, 3 o'clock. Hope you'll join us. The Jeremy Lawrence Program right here on 590 WKZO. Have a good evening. We'll talk to you later.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.